black, all-important movies start with a black screen. And music. Edgy, scary music that would make a parent or studio executive nervous. And logos. Really long and dramatic logos. Warner Bros. Why not Warner Brothers? I don't know. DC. The house that Batman built. Yeah, what, Superman? Come at me, bro. I'm your kryptonite.
Yeah, the Batman. It's, here's the thing. We already talked a little bit about, like, the Bat, the Vengeance, or whatever he wants to call himself in this new movie. And we touched on a lot of different things, but I guess we can just steamroll over the things we already talked about and go from there if you want.
We talked about a lot of things.
We talked about a lot of different things. Some of them that you shouldn't put out in public. Most of them shouldn't put out in public.
True. You're going to get canceled way before you even finish our first episode.
That gives you an idea about what we're doing over here.
Yeah.
We're you know, taxpayer money over here. We're not hoping for any sponsorships.
Our tax money, of course. Here's the taxpayers.
Yes, we pay ourselves taxes. That's how we get paid. You'll understand it later on.
Well, you either die a hero
or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Here's the thing. Don't you think that quote is a little bit a little bit cringy when it comes to the new movie? Like, I understood it when, you know, it was said or written, but don't you think that the new, like, the Batman, that doesn't embody that quote to the fullest?
It doesn't make sense in the new movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't. At the end, he changes. He doesn't die. He's the villain of his own story.
But
at the end, you know, he changes. He becomes the hero of his story, whatever that means. Whatever that's supposed to mean in the movie.
Yeah, because the thing that I told you that at least I sensed was he started off like this new guy who only cared about beating down people that resembled the people that, you know,
murdered
his parents. But then he turns and becomes like this figure, sort of, that is, it's his job to save Gotham, sort of.
Self-appointed job. Yes, no one gave him that job.
Yes, like a warlord in Africa kind of appointment.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call him warlord in Africa, but just a rich guy with means to do whatever he wants and get away with it. He has the resources to do so.
The filthy rich.
Yes.
And that's the thing, when you were talking about the quote that Selena in the movie said, that choices.
No, when he said, when How he was talking about again? Annika.
Yeah, when she said choices, you clearly grew up rich or something like that.
Yeah, whoever you are under that mask, you clearly grew up
rich. Yeah. That was a nice quote. I guess that we always think of the Batman, and this is besides the movie itself. We'll go back to it. That he's so much of this large figure that we tend to forget that, yeah, he did grow up rich.
Yeah.
I mean, he suffered, but it's a different kind of suffering.
Even in the movie, parts of the Riddler's targeting Bruce Wayne is because of that media focus on the orphan Bruce living in a mansion. Yeah, the orphan living in a mansion.
Oh, yeah, that was a big part of why he was doing what he was doing, even though that it didn't make really any sense.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. We talked about it earlier, yeah. But no, it comes to the idea of the orphan Bruce Wayne. Can we really claim that he suffered? This reminds me of Warren Zevon's, one of my favorite songs, "The Rich Folks Suffer Like the Rest of Us."
Yeah.
Do they?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Sure, people suffer no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter how much change they have in their pockets, but it does feel pretty fucking bad if you don't have that much money going on without parents as well.
That is true. You know, I'm not dismissing the idea that, you know, people with money would suffer. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying, but would it be...
It's harder.
Would it be the same as? Is there a way to compare it to the rest of the world?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the person as well. I mean, some people, they can grow up rich with no parents and then, you know, somehow
end up wearing a bat suit, going over the world, training in multiple martial arts.
Exactly.
To beat people down.
And others can grow up with, you know, a tendency to just destroy it all because they don't see the meaning behind it.
Yeah, because they didn't work hard to get it.
Exactly.
To make
and,
it.
And this reminds me of the, you know, when it was, what is it? It was Batman Hush, I guess, when Superman and Lois Lane, they were on an elevator, and then Bruce and Selina were on another one. They were talking about each other. Like Superman was talking about Batman and Batman was talking about Superman and how this person is. You know, they were talking about their character, each other's characters.
I think that's from Tom King. I don't think that's from Batman Hush. I think that's really? From a recent, I think that's Tom King. There is an issue where they go to this, I think it's a carnival.
Yeah, and then they the change, baseball thing. Change.
I think that's Tom King.
Batman. Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
A lot of people don't like those. I do. I like Tom King's Batman, but a lot of people don't.
I don't really care about.
It's not.
It, yeah, it's, if it's a good story, then it's a good story. I don't care about who wrote it.
No, I'm just talking. Yeah, I'm talking about the entire run.
Oh, for yeah, me, yeah, yeah.
It's not heavy on exposition. I would say that's one of the things
like. Yeah. But I like the part when they were talking about each other and he said that, you know, Batman was saying, I respect him because he basically could have destroyed the entire world, yet he had a choice not to, to do so. Yeah. And then Superman did the same thing. Like he had no parents and all the money in the world. He could have turned out bad if he wanted to.
But yeah.
He chose not to.
Who would have, no one would have would stop him.
Yeah. So I guess the suffering is relating to like the type of the person that is going through it. Not all people are going to make it through.
Unless, of course, you turned up real extreme and lose too many people that you end up thinking that the alien flying in the sky is dangerous and you have to take the 1% chance that he might do so as an ultimate threat.
And you lose all your hair. That's part of it, too.
No, I'm talking about Batman v Superman.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lex Luthor.
No, I'm talking about Batman. Batman v Superman, I don't know, but Batman, because he said to Alfred that 1%, you have to take it with absolute certainty. And I'm thinking, really? 1%?
I don't like to talk about Batman v Superman. Man.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to have that talk.
Yeah, we're not talking about it today. That's not going to be even a talk. It's going to be a rant. I'm just going to go full on ham on that movie. That just, that's all I have to describe it with. Ugh. Three letters.
It's a 3-hour movie, though.
It's one letter for each hour.
The ultimate, I think it's called the ultimate cut. I don't remember.
It needs to be cut off this world. Kind of movie is
nah, that? Man, come on.
I don't like, I think they could have made something. Because listen, whenever they had like in the comics, when Batman went against Superman, what's the thing? Is it Dark Knight?
Called? Yeah, what the Dark Knight Returns.
Returns, yeah. I mean, it was nice. It's a nice dynamic to see, like the God versus man kind of thing. It's nice. But the way they went about it, it's just, I don't know.
In the movie, it was, you know.
Yeah, it was
hand.
Let me stop because he said the name similar to my mom.
Yeah, it had a lot of issues. I think it's, for me,
and here's
it's ambitious.
Thing.
For me, it's an ambitious movie. The Batman v Superman, honestly, I think it's an ambitious movie.
It is.
It had way too many issues in production. Pre-production,
yeah.
During production. It had way too many issues. They interfered. We have no idea what Zack intended with that movie, apart from what he already said. And obviously, he's no longer with Warner Brothers, so we might expect him to say stuff. For a movie to get written, then rewritten, then get studio notes, then to get rewritten, it's going to be a mess. Every movie in history that ever got through that turned out to be a mess. And we, the people who had to pay for the theater ticket to get and see it, we get pissed. Moving on. That's what I'm going to say about it. I'm going to move on.
I usually just pirate that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't pay tickets.
Yeah, I know.
If it's Warner Bros., I'm pirating it. Disclaimer. But you can't make a movie to save yourself, mate. It's terrible. Disney or Amazon, get on it, man. It's just, it's not
just
good.
Split it and make, yeah. Split the company and make a new one and be done with it.
They should, there's this thing, and I know we're railing off, but there's this thing that German football clubs have where for each percentage that like, an owner has, like the fans get to actually have parts of the thing. like the ownership of the club. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should do that. Maybe Warner Bros. Should be split off about, you know, with DC fans and other fans, and we own it. Then we get to decide what to do with it.
Yeah. I guess if you have enough money, we can buy the shares.
Yeah, but
we don't.
Yeah, we're not getting sponsored on this either. We're not buying anything anytime soon.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So back to the Batman. I'm sorry. We railed off. But back to the Batman.
You know, I think we should talk about the best part of the movie. What do you think is the best part of the movie?
I think it gave us like a nice... Here's the first thing that... There's a few things that I actually like. And here's the first one. I love the timing of like this Batman. That is just getting started. It's, you know, what it was? It was it like 2 years
he's been doing year this? Year two. Like, for, supposed to be year
yeah,
two.
Like year two. So I love that aspect of it. Because usually beforehand... We saw it with the Nolan one when he was, you know, starting.
That was year one.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like it. I don't know. It was.
We're not talking about the comics, by the way. We're not talking about.
No, just movies. Comics. Yeah. We're just strictly talking about the movies. I don't know, but the Nolan one didn't have like that. The nice, well, not nice, but you know, that sort of like grimy,
rough
start that the Batman sort of. You know, sort of had. Well, but I don't know again.
He didn't have like a perfect start. He didn't. Make mistakes like this one. In this one, he made mistakes. Like a lot of them.
Exactly. It felt smooth. The start of Batman in the Nolan movies felt smooth.
But I think that's because in Batman Begins, he actually goes on some sort of exploring the world. And I don't think this one that we saw... I don't think he did. I think it's just Alfred trained him to fight and just started fighting.
That's one of the things I didn't like. Because I actually enjoy the idea that Batman is this sort of like human encyclopedia of like martial arts and just knowing everything you can.
Well, this one, you know, he knew that the finger was cut post-mortem, you know, ichymosis.
Well, because they wanted to drive the whole movie towards that detective.
He knew how to operate the gadgets. He knew how to drive. So he is trained. He has gone through it. He just didn't give us the training montage.
We still don't know. Has it been confirmed that like Alfred was the one who taught him?
Yeah, because in the hospital scene, he trained him, I can train you how to fight, but I can't be your father. He actually said that. That goes back to the idea, to the, you know, the earlier scene.
Would that mean?
Alfred, you're not my father. I'm well aware.
Oh, yeah.
You need to, because that response is so, you know, at first it gets you sad because it's like his father figure.
But it gives some lore behind the character.
Yeah, because he knew exactly, I'm well aware because I knew I could never be your father.
Yeah.
He could never be his father.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the other part you said that you liked?
I forgot now. I enjoyed like the time. That's number one. And also I enjoyed like the fact that you actually got to see a lot of Bruce Wayne. Like it wasn't like hidden.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's true.
Well, not like they won't. Well, it wasn't like his normal life, but you got to see him behind the scenes doing Batman's work. Not Bruce Wayne, but
you mean the paperwork?
Yeah.
Actually sitting down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing that I really enjoyed about the detective part of Batman is that he can actually sit down and, you know, go through like the whole thing, analyze and do. I enjoy that kind of stuff. He did a little bit of it. So I like
solve riddles, actually do some sort of research. Yeah.
That instead of just being the, I just know it. So I just do it. You know, like, of course I know this. I know
how Jack of all trades.
Yes, I know how to do this thing. I know how to fly this plane. I know how to move this.
Or like, they can usually pull the Matrix thing where they need the how to fly the helicopter. They can just call
Hey, Morpheus, hook me up, man. We need a hookup. I enjoy like seeing they got a name for it. Police, legwork. I enjoy to see the legwork of how like things are done. And I think that's a nice aspect.
You mean Batman's legwork?
Yeah, well, not Gordon's.
Well, actually, we see Gordon do everything except the legwork.
Yeah, he's just I don't know. It didn't feel like it was the Gordon. It was just like shadowing Batman and whatever he does. And just like being a... Gordon in this movie was like a hall pass.
I would say sidekick.
Not even a sidekick. Sidekicks tend to do some stuff. He was a hall pass. Like he was, he can get in this place.
In this spot.
Yeah, he's a hall pass.
Too many police officers, exactly. But it's safe
pass.
For him.
It's a whole pack.
That was a hard thing to swallow for me.
What did they do?
The police around Batman throughout the movie. They're just sitting around him.
Yeah, with no repercussions.
No, that doesn't make sense. They're calling him a vigilante, so he's suspected of committing.
Yeah, isn't he
breaking the law?
Yeah.
But you're just letting him walk around you with nothing?
Yeah, because he's supposed to be an outlaw at that time. They still haven't accepted him.
And even, he's working with Gordon. Isn't Gordon breaking some kind of law? I know that police have that, that thing where they can bring specialists to help them with cases and so on. But man is a specialist in one. Other than being a goth boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't even get us started on that goth thing.
Dude, that's the title of the episode. The Goth Knight.
The Goth Knight. Mr. Gothamania.
It's a play on Gotham. Goth Knight and darkness. And trying to really go deeper into it.
You can be dark without, overdoing it. I mean, listen, I understand what they wanted.
How dark can you be?
No, I understand what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it a little bit grim. Not necessarily dark, but a little bit grim. Because they wanted to put emphasis on, he's from, the sewers. He's, bringing justice from,
But he's not.
The rat-infested. But, yeah, exactly. He's not. Because he's sitting in his mansion, clicking buttons.
It's in a penthouse.
Whatever it is.
A penthouse, and the entire building, it's his. Because apparently Batcave is under the building.
Oh yeah, he's not in a mansion anymore. He's not in the Batcave. He's in the it's like some Wayne Tower or something like that. He's in the Wayne Tower.
And he lives in the penthouse.
Yeah, and he went through I remember because he went through the tracks.
The Wayne Terminal or something. It's under it. I assume. I don't know for sure.
Wayne. You have a Batcave.
No, I mean because you see the thing. What's it called? Batwing. It says Wayne Terminus.
It's underneath the Wayne building.
Assuming.
Because he was driving towards the Wayne building.
Yeah, he was driving. And you can see Alfred just strolling down into the Batcave. It's what we call the Batcave. He doesn't call it the Batcave. There are bats in that cave. But
here's the thing. They don't even call him the Batman in the movie. I don't think it was called. They referred to him as the Batman.
I think police called him Batman. It's the Batman.
Yeah, but it wasn't like an official. It was like just something the police used. Because everyone else didn't call him the Batman.
Well, if you're going to have a mature story to people with actual brains, you're not going to
start from that sexual.
I'm Batman. The name's Bond, James Bond. I'm going to, coming off with revealing his secret identity, presenting it to the world. He's not going to do that. He doesn't do that.
Well, isn't the thing, I'm the Batman. He's just replaced it with I am vengeance.
Well, he is. I think he's treating it as the spirit of vengeance for the people who get wronged by crime.
I thought you were just gonna say Christ.
Nah, crime.
Yeah. I think you. Yeah, sure. So, what do you like about it, though?
Music.
Oh yeah,
the music was on point.
After I watched it for the first couple of times, the Nirvana song just started it was nonstop on my phone.
Actually, I don't think it was a Nirvana song. Was not really the entire song. It was just something in the way throughout the movie. I actually paid attention to it. I was why this specific song? Because it didn't make sense.
Goth.
Well, not really.
In Nirvana weren't really that goth. I mean, apart from the shock.
Yeah. I was going to say, are you really going to, pick a song that kind of baggage? For something that you're trying to end it on a high note, like some positive note, because what are you doing? It doesn't make sense to me.
Was it in the end?
No, because it started from the, from the start of the movie till the end, sometimes they would play it. But it was more like they're just the line of something in the way. And I'm thinking that changed actually the way I saw the movie, because when we first watched it a couple of times, I had a different idea from I watched it yesterday. Because yesterday I paid attention.
Yeah.
A long movie.
Yeah. Felt long.
The first time I did not feel it at all. 3 hours gone by and I was like, I'm ready for more. Is there an extended cut that I can watch right now?
Yeah. I guess because it was the excitement. Because low key we were excited.
Yeah, even the second time I had to wait. We had to wake up early. I had to take a train. I had to go to a different city to watch it again.
We had to go to the shady cinema.
Well, the first one was shady.
No, shady.
Shady, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the second kind one was shady, bro.
I think it looked decent.
Inside looked very nice.
Yeah, but outside, yeah. I guess
outside looked like you were going to sell weed.
So you. But when we, the second time we watched it, and I was like, okay, this feels good. I'm not bored. I didn't actually knew it was 3 hours until you said it. Because when we were talking about when to watch it, I thought, are we going to watch it like a midnight thing? He said, no, it's a 3-hour movie.
And yeah, because like, we had to go back home. Yeah.
Yeah, in another city.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait, it's a 3-hour movie? It feels like a lot. I didn't know. So when I watched it, I didn't feel it the first time, neither the second time. Then I watched it at home. When I watched it like later at home, I felt good, not bored again. So by this point, I watched it like 4 times because I watched it twice. But yesterday, it felt like a long movie, 3-hour long movie. I could feel every minute. Felt.
Yeah, when you pay attention, like, and you try it and watch every single little thing and, you know, pay attention to small details, it is a long.
And honestly, now that I'm thinking, I don't think like I have a different way of watching movies. I only have either I'm thinking about this or I just want to pass the time. I'm either paying attention to it or I'm not. It's either in the background or it's in the foreground. I'm either watching the movie or I'm watching the movie, I'm doing something.
Well, usually that's the case with me as well, because it's like two modes. Either I'm like turning my brain off and then just consuming whatever it is there, not even thinking about what I'm seeing, or I really pay attention to every minor detail.
So you're either watching The Batman or...
Or I'm just what my, I don't know, unconsciousness is watching The Batman. Whatever.
No, I was going to say you're either watching The Batman or you're watching Thor, God, Love and Thunder. Or, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Love and Thunder.
Thor, yeah.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I told you. I just watched the trailer. That's how I knew Zeus was played by Russell Crowe.
Oh, because I did.
You watched Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
I don't...
Let's say. I only told you I'm either watching something or not watching something. I do not remember that movie.
So you didn't watch it.
So basically, I spent 2 hours doing something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I was doing, but I don't remember the movie.
Yeah. It's a Marvel movie. What do you...
What do you expect? I only watched them so I would stay in the loop. You know, I would know what's going on. I was even disappointed with the Spider-Man, but...
That's the last one was decent.
Spider-Man?
The last one. I mean, it was a little bit. The other ones were trash. Homecoming, the other one, what is it called?
Is it because of Tobey Maguire?
No, I don't. What do you think? I have a thing for fucking Gatsby's psychic? I don't give a fuck about Nick, whatever he's called in the Gatsby thing. I don't. No, not really. I enjoyed the sort of like the get together of them and the other guys, because here's the thing, I'm a Spider-Man suck up. I used to love that character since I was a kid, so it was just nice seeing them there. It was sort of enjoyable, nostalgic, sort of. Yeah, it was sort of nice. I guess that's the strictly subjective,
extremely subjective,
yeah, to the deep bone. But yeah. So to me it was decent. I mean, other than some shit that didn't make any sense.
I watched it the first time, you know, but at that point, the rumors were already floating around that there's going to be like a multiverse thing.
You could tell that after the moment the movie started.
Yeah, but after it was, you know, after the movie finished, I couldn't watch it again. I haven't seen it since.
Me as well. Yeah, me too.
It's because it's not a movie that you're going to go back to.
Yeah. Was it Scorsese that said it's like those carnival movies?
Roller coaster ride, yeah, or something. I don't know. This is not cinema.
It's like one thing that you just go for and then, hey, I'm good. I guess that's the thing I like about the Nolan movies. You were watching a Batman movie, but it's not really, you know, it's like a superhero movie. It's more of
Batman is not a superhero.
Based, well, a hero. On the list.
I don't even have issues with that, but I get what you're trying to say.
What's the thing from Playboy billionaire philanthropist?
The Siren Man.
I know, it's like it's same for him as well. Except he beats people in the end. Iron Man just blasts them away. And he has
an alcohol. I don't know where you're going with that.
And he has an alcohol problem.
Even the actor playing him had the issue with alcohol, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how they managed to pull that off.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of problems with the new the Batman. We should call it the Batman.
No, I guess with the second thing that I really like, that's the thing. The second thing that I like is that when he calls himself Nocturnal Animal, there's a scene that I actually see it.
Mm.
You know, when he puts on the shades and afraid of the light.
It felt like I was watching something from 2003. It's like some emo kid from like...
Yeah, I know. You're going to talk about Twilight next.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, bro. You already been... Robert has been what's the word I'm looking for? He had shit thrown on him because of the Twilight, and it's kind of like a stamp on his career.
Even though he should be known for Cedric Godfrey first.
He has some good movies.
No, Cedric Godfrey. He's a good actor. He was a Harry Potter movie way before he did the Twilight.
Nobody remembers that.
I do.
I know, but ain't nobody gonna remember.
But they should.
That dude has been in some movies. Like Robert Pattinson has been around.
Cosmopolis, The Lighthouse, and other movies that I don't really remember.
The Lighthouse is a nice movie.
Yeah.
It's a very, very nice movie. It's the first nice movie I've seen in a while, too. Very nice movie. But yeah, like
that pre-pandemic or post-pandemic? Well, I don't think we should call it post-pandemic, but you get the point.
I don't believe in the pandemic. But yeah. I don't know. It's just in general, I guess. It's a nice movie I've seen in a while. And I guess I haven't seen something that really satisfied me until like lately when I watched The Northman. I guess that was also a nice
movie. So you're saying you haven't seen Green Knight or Dune?
I've seen Dune. Green Light as well. Green Light is nice. But I see why it didn't resonate with people. And we talked about that earlier when you know, it's like it breaks the whole cycle-y thing of like the hero, the pattern.
Taking the journey of the hero.
Yeah.
Literally. Making a story based on that.
But I guess you can always debate that movies are made for escapism and people just, they don't want to think when they go to movies. They just want to like turn something on. I guess like when you're eating food and you just put your phone in front of you, just whatever. I just want to go through it. Don't you think?
Well, to a point, I would say this is not like commercial fiction. Green Knight for me is not commercial fiction. It's not made to make money.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
But the Batman is made to make money.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with every other movie that tries to break that. If the goal is to make money out of that, well, IP, you know, intellectual property, of course people are going to intervene and going to block some risky stuff. Because that's the thing with Batman v Superman. People intervened. It broke it. It did not make the amount of money that it's supposed to. You got $1 billion characters there. It should have made more than $1 billion, but it didn't. But recently you have like the Tom Cruise movie, the
Maverick, Top Gun.
Top Gun Maverick.
Did you watch it?
Not yet. I wanted to watch it in theater.
It's pretty nice.
I already told you that you used the shotgun on me with that.
I know. I watched it, man.
Yeah.
I watched it. I didn't have anything else to do, so I had to watch
it. I've heard criticism about the story and so on, but it made $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
It's and one here's of the fastest growing movies, you know, I don't know whether you should call it post-pandemic, but that's what I'm going to say. Now the theaters are open. People can go. It made $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
So I guess movie is made to make money. The story is going to be, I would say, too polished.
Not that polished.
No, polished meaning it's going to adhere to the majority of the audience.
To the masses. Yeah.
Yeah, to the masses, basically. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I see.
It's going to appeal to almost everyone. There's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah, it has that 90s kind of feeling to it, to the movie. It's very nice. It's
set in that era, or is it
it's set on today, like
modern day.
Yeah, modern day. Like the Maverick is like an old man now. He's old, but you know,
Tom Cruise old.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is in Tom Cruise age. He didn't use anything on his face. And there's, you know, new people. I didn't want to talk about it. There is like new people and there are fresh people. So it's not set in the 90s. It's pretty. But it's a good movie if you like those types of movies. You know, like the Top Gun, you know, gunslinger kind of like movies. If you enjoy that type of movie, it's a very good
different
movie.
Kind of hero, you mean?
Yeah. If you enjoy that style of movies. You can, it's very nice. It's not like a bad, and here's the thing. It doesn't push any, you know.
Politics.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I need to see it, you know, to judge it, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
So far, the movies that you recommended have been really interesting to watch, to think about, to process and so on.
The old ones. Here's the thing that I hate when
it's not necessarily
movies.
The old ones. Well, not the but when we say old ones, we're talking black and white from the 40s. But,
no, you know. Not even that. Here's the thing that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
This idea that when you compare movies, you know, we say that a good movie is a good movie today, you know, in comparison to the usual stuff that always that's always coming out. And the usual stuff that is always coming out is trash. And it's not worth a while. Very rarely do you see like some movie that really goes up there. It's very the movies that are coming out right now are very trashy. Either it's some, you know, pat on the back, letter people stuff, or it's just like it doesn't have any meaning,
substance.
You know, yeah, it's no substance, no nothing, essentially. So it is pretty bad, or I do not like it when I have to compare movies with today's movie. You know what I mean?
Sort yeah, of. I do.
Like, I would have loved to compare these movies to the movies that are, you know, they used to be made or awesome, or like, say, in the movies that got out in 2014. You had Whiplash, you had Birdman, you had a plethora of good movies.
Yeah.
So that was like, you could set the bar real high, and then you could compare those movies together. And that would be more meaningful, I guess, of a conversation. But when you're comparing, say, the Batman, what we're talking about today, to the usual stuff that
we're supposed to be talking about the Batman.
Yeah, well, suppose is the big word. To the other stuff, it's just, you know, the Batman stands out very hot.
The Northman.
Or the Northman as well.
Dune and Green Knight. Ones.
Exactly.
The Green Knight didn't, it stands out to us. Because we would go and watch it. Because even if the release of the Green Knight was kind of weird. Show it to people, limited online release, streaming.
The COVID thing really
was a mess.
Yeah, it really did mess up a lot of things.
Dune, it was released simultaneously into either HBO Max or HBO Max. Yeah, that's the cat.
It's. I want to chime in a conversation as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about movies. She watches movies with me.
She watched probably more movies than the general populace.
Yeah, that's true. As I was saying, what was I saying?
You're talking about the Green Knight and the release.
Dune was released simultaneously on HBO Max and theaters. It made money. Not a lot of money, but it made money. So, and it was available for people to watch. And there was like this big campaign, marketing campaign behind it to make it, you know, everyone would know it. Because obviously people who have read the books know about it. Anyone who have seen the David Lynch 1986, I think, movie know about there's a new one coming.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows Denis Villeneuve, I'm going to butcher the name, but you know, the director.
Yeah, DD.
Yeah.
Or DB or whatever you want to call him.
Denis Villeneuve, I think. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm just butchering the name. It's difficult to pronounce.
I'm not going to make a joke about it. Just keep going.
Okay, good. I was going to give you a pause, but, you know.
I know.
Anyone who knows these, because there are big names attached to it. Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya. I'm butchering names. There's also the other dude played Stelgar.
The Spanish one.
Yeah.
The guy from No Country for Old Men. He is the same actor, right?
Yeah, he is. Different haircut, though.
Looks browner, too.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be brown. He's Fremen.
Obvious.
The movie goes deeper than that.
Yeah, I think the movie goes deeper than that.
A lot of people, you know, I think you mentioned earlier, said a lot of people who watched Dune did not get much of the story of what was going on.
Yeah, at least the people I know. They really didn't. Or the casual viewers, not necessarily the like people who sit down with a pen and paper and find out shit.
I guess that goes back to the idea you talked about earlier about the hero's journey. You know, because Dune, it's not really about the hero's journey. Paul's journey is only in the middle by the end of the movie. And even that, anyone who has read the books knows where the movie's going with the Paul's story.
Yeah.
So it's going to go in a different direction. It basically tells you know the hero's journey? Yeah, this one is not a hero.
It's not a hero story.
It's not a hero.
Essentially, yeah. There's no...
You're not going to use the word hero by the end of this movie. So the second movie, that is. I'm thinking, of course.
If they make it, yeah.
No, they are making it. started production like 2 weeks ago, I think, or yesterday. I'm not sure.
Oh,
because I kept reading reports about starting production of the second one.
Oh,
yeah, they are.
I know that they are making a second one for the Batman.
Yeah, and also I think we should go back to talking about the Batman.
Yeah, we derailed.
We derailed.
I told you, like, when we start, we're gonna derail because things come up.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think they should make another, you know, like the second one?
No.
Yeah. One and done.
I think they should have ended the first one with the Riddler screaming. Cut and credits. Done.
Without the...
without the show cringy...
Yeah, dead horse.
Extremely cringy Joker.
Yeah, it's beating a dead horse, essentially. It's just every time there's like a Batman movie, they have to just, you know...
Because it's popular. Look, there's... way too many, you know, villains in the rogues gallery that you can use,
and you can make them be. You can work on them so hard that they can become at the status of the Joker. Like the Batman doesn't suffer from a shortage of villains.
There's Poison Ivy.
There's Poison Ivy. There is, like, I mean, look at what Nolan did with Bane.
With Ra's al Ghul.
Or with Ra's al Ghul. I bet that few people would know who Ra's is.
At first when I heard Ra's al Ghul, I was confused. Because at the point when I watched Batman Begins, I didn't know a lot about Batman. I was like, what, 12 years old or 15 years old? Still 12 or 13 or something. Yeah,
2008, maybe?
No, 5.
So 5?
Yeah.
Five. For the longest amount of time, I thought he had, like, powers.
Well, he's supposed to, but well, not...
Yeah, with the Lazarus thing.
Yeah.
Lazarus pit.
But you know, that's the comics and the animated...
They didn't have it.
In the Batman, in the Nolan, so-called Nolan verse, he didn't have any of that.
Assassin.
Yeah, he had real powers.
Yeah.
An army.
And that's what I said. That's why I enjoyed War. I love the Nolan movies.
Nolanverse paid attention to some details that actually made sense to us. So when the claim is that this is a realistic approach to the Batman versus the previous version, which was nipple Batman, Joel Schumacher stuff. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, rest in peace. George Clooney and so on. I'm not talking about that. But, you know, the grounded element, which is something that I did not like about this one. It's grounded in reality. Grounded in reality, and the only thing that I keep seeing is that things that are not even remotely close to real life, things that I don't even do, and I'm not a forensic analyst, and I'm not a police officer. I don't just plug in USB devices to my computer.
Yeah.
Actually, that's something that I always have to tell people that I'm not gonna do. I'm gonna email you the file.
The best example of this is the car chases, and we talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
And I know we're gonna keep saying we talked about this earlier. But we did. The car chases in the Batman, the Nolan movies are normal. Like it's normal to the
It's a police. Standard.
Yeah, but it's a regular police chase. There's no explosions, no stuff fucking going off the ground.
I think there was explosions,
but few of them. And you had the sense that I know people are dying. Like when the police started fighting with
the introduction of the tumbler, there were explosions.
Yeah, but it wasn't
even later on they were.
Put it in comparison with the Batman with the
that was mayhem. One.
But that was
that's Armageddon.
Yeah.
The world is ending.
It's like the highway see tanker, was on fire.
To see tankers explode and not a police helicopter on site. And not even after the fact. Okay, they took them time to reach that spot.
No. Did you like the camera angle where it was like around the wheel?
Yeah, that's new. But the thing is that that's isolated thing that I like about the police chase. But not police chase, but the car chase. That's the isolated thing. But the whole thing as a whole, it felt like the amount of suspension of disbelief that I have to give into this scene
is
too way, much. It's too damn high.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
Yeah.
Said, look, you had me at first with the dude wearing a suit with a, you know, a humanoid bat thing. Then you had me with someone able to infiltrate a mayor's house with police downstairs. You had me at that. That's a suspension of disbelief enough. Do not push your luck.
Yeah.
You're pushing it here. Telling me in the marketing how grounded this thing is.
Yeah.
Even with the wingsuit thing. okay, that's grounded. That's how it happens in real life. I would have been really satisfied, and my suspension of disbelief would have been not disturbed if they had the usual spread of the cowl, not the cowl, the cape thing, and he would slide down from on top of the police chase.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Arkham games.
Yeah.
If he does that, they made it work in the Batman. Dark Knight.
The Nolan movie.
They made it work. Actually, there was like a line where Lucius Fox explains it. Oh, we just run current.
Electrical currents.
I was like, yeah, whatever. Moving on. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. It just goes whoosh and he glides.
He glides. Yeah, he does not fly.
Yeah, it's not flying.
You spend too much time thinking about how to make a flying scene, well, fly over or gliding or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They spend too much time making that sound and feel real rather than focus on other parts of the story that would make actual sense to us because that's what we're here for.
That's the thing, because when they finished with the car chase, they caught the Penguin. I was like, well, he better be the one who's killing these people. But then he's just like El Rata,
Spanish. And
what's the point? He just left them there. Well, you went through all of that. You might have as well been chasing what's his name? The Riddler. That's what I thought when I was watching the trailer and that whole shit was going off. I was like, oh, they're going after the Riddler. But then it's just Penguin. That's not even Penguin. It's just like El Rata Penguin. It's just, what's this going on here? It didn't have an outcome. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're building up so much towards a point, the point better be reflecting the whole process of getting, like, you destroyed half of the highway. You might as well.
Probably maimed many people.
Definitely killed some people.
Casualties, yeah.
Against your rule of not killing.
I guess this one doesn't have that yet. He does have the gun rule.
He showed it when he was fighting those people with the Celine. Like, she wanted to kill the dude and he told her, we don't kill.
I think the scene that I'm thinking is before that, where no guns and Gordon, when you're going into the manor thing, he said, that's your thing, man.
Yeah, but he still has some rules of not killing people. It might not be the rule, but there's rules.
Can he really avoid casualties?
Yeah, well, when you talk realistically, sure, but it looked like Syria down there. Looked like it's Ukraine. They're bombarding the place. It didn't look good. They fought half of, they destroyed rather half of the highway to get to somebody, to just let him go. What about the people that died?
I think because they didn't have anything on him.
Why chase him?
I think because they thought they had something on him. Because when I just watched it again yesterday. Because that's how I think. Because I kept thinking about that scene. I was like, okay, you released them. So no police in the background, no sirens. Because I would understand that if there were sirens in the background and they just had to rush through the scene to end it because the police were coming over to arrest him. Or just coming over to them.
Yeah. But that's the thing that the
absence, complete had. Absence of the movie.
Yes.
The police. Complete absence of the police in after during the car chase scene and after it. We're not going to talk about the magic ramp that shows up near the end. Oh, I got him, just to give him that. Oh, I got him moment. Oh, no, you didn't. Mm. We're not talking about, I'm just pointing that bookmark and moving on.
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another, when I said, grounded, I mean, and do people really plug USB? I'm going to go back to that point, by the way. Do really people plug in USB devices into their computers? Random ones. I guess everyone I've seen the Mr. Robot and learned that you shouldn't, even if you didn't know that you shouldn't do that before. I guess you saw it in the show and you should have learned. Yeah. I assume that in your friend circle, there's at least one person who understands that you shouldn't do that and will tell you at some point. But a police officer for him to just plug in the USB and get surprised, what did you think was going to happen?
Why is
it? You didn't even have security on that computer.
Why is that USB even exists?
I think it's because we wanted to see the pictures of Annika with the mayor thing. I honestly don't understand the point of those pictures, other than to point us at the fact that this mayor may be infidel, which does not necessarily mean corrupt.
Because they did hold on, didn't they release them the moment they put the USB on?
Because it was there was like this virus thing.
Oh, so they probably the Riddler wanted.
Well, the thing is that you already assume that the USB has something in it that's not good for your computer. That's why you don't plug it in.
He didn't plug it in directly.
Yeah. He even unlocked it with the thumb that was attached to it. The mayor's thumb.
Yeah, he said it was sent from his account, like his own personal.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think Gordon is thinking about that?
Well, actually, he should. He's a police officer who's supposed to be trained in this nonsense.
But the people who are writing it aren't really
minding this. Where's the groundwork?
It's non-existent.
Well, that's my point.
Well, if it does, then it's very, very small. Very small. Yeah.
By the way, it
sounds like we're shitting on the movie. We really aren't. There's a lot of elements that we like, but there's also some...
goofy moments.
Yeah, goofiness to it. Yes.
Yeah, I guess goofiness, not goofy moments, because there are way too many.
Goofiness. Yeah, it's goofiness. Sprinkled, you know, here and there.
Heavily sprinkled.
Yeah, that's at least a tablespoon. But yeah, other than that, it's an okay movie, I guess you can say. But that's the thing again. We're comparing this movie to other stuff that
we have seen before.
And a lot of those other things are excellent movies. Nolan, for example, the Nolan ones. And when we're talking about to keep going on this point, when the police wanted to catch Batman in the Nolan movies, you felt their presence, or at least the shadow of their existence, when he's on the streets. It's always like the police are coming. The police are.
Oh no! But this Batman works with the police.
Yeah, but still, even when they want to catch him, because he was a vigilante, and they were talking about him needing to be caught, and they need it. The position of the police wasn't really clear, because they helped the police. He helped. The police, and the police were like fine with having him around, but then they wanted to arrest him, and then the TV thing kept talking about, oh, he's a vigilante, we need to catch him, we need to this, we need that. And that was the point with the other mayor, the black woman that she was
running. Villarreal.
Yeah, what Real or whatever.
Yeah, because in the opening scene when she's debating, she said that you have a vigilante running the streets.
Yeah, but and the police were undecided. They really didn't decide
only,
what to
only,
do. With.
Only a couple of moments later, he is in the crime scene. Standing you know, Martinez tried to block him. Hey, oh, where are you going?
Gordon, the hall pass is giving him a hall pass.
And when he's...
And when the other guy, who's the captain, comes in.
Pete Savage, I think, is
the name. He just comes in. He's like, oh,
excuse me?
Yeah, take him off of here.
He's a vigilante. What would you say, excuse me? Arrest on the spot if you really suspect him of doing things.
While the police are there.
Who?
The Batman.
I guess I missed your point.
I said, why is he there while the police is still there? He could have came afterwards or like beforehand. Why did Gordon bring him while the police were there? Since he has clearly problems with the police.
I guess that's too much confidence.
Yeah, but it's still, man.
It doesn't make sense.
It gave me the idea that, oh, okay, I guess Batman is good with the police. I guess they trust him. There's some sort of like, oh, he's not going to have a problem with them. But then the woman, the mayor wannabe, is just... talking about how he's a vigilante, he's this, is that. Well, how can that translate into what's going on?
I'm sorry, I really missed your point.
What I'm trying to say here is, you clearly have a feeling when you see the Batman with the police at first, he's amongst it, that the police, to some extent, are willing to use Batman or work with Batman.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, on the political side, when I guess the police sort of like reflect that, the mayor, the
candidate,
Real or the candidate or whatever.
At that point, she was candidate.
She's calling him a vigilante. And a lot of news sources, you could see they're still calling him a vigilante. So it's been undecisive between whether he's a vigilante or is he just like like a helpful fella who's going to help Gotham. That's my point. Like, the movie didn't really show which
way where he stands.
Yeah. Well, not where he stands, where the other, where the people stand.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
That was my point. Like, it didn't show, well, is he the people's hero? Are they like want him to be there, or are they just not, they don't really care?
Well, I guess if you're famous for beating up people.
Well, not people, actually, criminals.
No, hold on a minute. If you're famous for beating up people, I guess everyone is going to be scared of you, because when he was basically beating up the gang that tried to jump the dude from the train.
Yeah.
When he was trying that, once he wrapped up with the criminals, he turned his head to see the supposed victim. Yeah. Don't hurt me. I guess that's how he's known, that he's not really known for separating between the victim and the perpetrator. So people think that he's just beating up people.
Well, maybe because it's like it's year two. It's not well known yet. If it's year two and people still don't know him, well, I'm wondering what happened with the Joker.
I don't want to wonder. I don't want to talk about the Joker part. I really don't. I'm tired. You know, you had this excellent performance by Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Another excellent performance 10 years later or 11 years later with the Joker movie.
I thought for a second you were going to say Jared Leto.
I'm not even going
to. I was about to leave.
I'm not even. You see, I even glanced over that, like, it doesn't even exist.
I'm not even admitting that stuff exists.
You see, I didn't even think about it when I was thinking of Joker.
It was a wonderful performance by Jared Leto. It was as awesome as Morbius. It was amazing movie. Wow. I honestly, it makes me tear up.
I'm going to have to. I have to pay a note to say that's sarcasm.
I think it's a great movie.
That's what sarcasm sounds like.
It's Morbius time.
I didn't even think about Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about how he's going to direct. Yeah. You know, I've thought of.
I thought you were being sarcastic when you were. I thought you were going to see Jared Leto and be sarcastic.
I wasn't even going for it.
Phoenix.
That's how much I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Then there's the, the Joker movie.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, sorry, I forgot his name for a moment. You don't need a third one this soon.
Exactly, yeah. What was the Joker movie? 2019?
Yeah.
It's pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, 2019.
Pre-life.
Barry Keoghan, he had honestly no business being the Joker. They had no business including that part.
Hmm.
Maybe 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. But you can't be making Joker 2 and at the same time have a bookend scene with the Joker in a Batman. It's already crowded here. It's too many Batman going on.
Plus, they're still pumping up not the Snyderverse, but the same characters, like with Aquaman and Wonder Woman. So but that Joker must still exist. Somewhere in that world. Interacts
with other characters.
Yeah, because if Aquaman exists, if Wonder Woman exists, well, that Joker must exist as well.
But I guess this one needs its own universe because this one is separate from that.
No, but my point is, like, how many Jokers can you have at once?
How many Batmans can you have at once?
Well, shit, there's too much.
Yeah, they're bringing back the 1989 Michael Keaton.
Yeah, with the whole Flash thing. Did you see what happened to Ezra Miller?
You mean what Ezra Miller did?
Happened
to him. He did.
Yeah.
I don't think we know the full story to those of those things.
I'm just gonna go on a whim and say he did it. He does look like an R. Kelly to me. He has R. Kelly vibes.
You know, famous people are kind of would lose
how,
their mind.
How unfortunate. The people who are working on Fantastic Beasts must be, because they just had
Johnny Depp's debacle.
Yeah, well, Johnny Depp, I mean, that he was a victim. And then what was happening with this dude? Like, what is it? It's two extra movies for
The Flash?
For Fantastic Beasts.
I have no idea.
I think they still have two down, and they're changing actors like left and right. They got the Hannibal dude, whatever his name is now, playing Grindelwald, whatever you call him. But yeah, like...
I haven't seen any of those movies. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's just the changes of actor. Here's the thing. Do you think that they would change the Flash, that he's not going to play it? Because they were planning on making a movie before him, like the some sort of like the Flashpoint paradox.
They
like
did. That. They finished filming. The thing is
are they going to release it?
Hold on a minute. It's a 200 million movie. And here's the thing. If you, I think, I don't know whether it was a trailer or a sneak peek or something. Ezra Miller plays two Flashes in that movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What Flash?
Two.
From like two timelines or something?
I think two, because they're pulling the multiverse, so it's two Earths, basically.
Oh.
So one from one Earth, one from the other. And I think I heard rumors about one, how, you know, this is concerning the story. This is a rumor. It's not a spoiler. One of them is supposed to turn evil at the end. Or in the middle to become, I think, the reverse Flash or something. I don't know. It's something, it's a rumor that's circling around. Because you can't have the Flashpoint without having a reverse Flash.
Yeah. But don't make him, just stick to the comics. Why are you making him the reverse Flash?
No, that's just a rumor.
He's supposed to be like someone from the future in the comics. He's somebody from the future who used to love the Flash, and then he managed to like recreate the accident that created the Flash, and then he went back.
Dude, we keep managing to not talk about
the Batman. Yes,
it's the easiest movie to talk about, but
it's the easiest movie not to talk about as well.
Yeah, because we can keep
derailing.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's go back to the Batman.
You know, you mentioned
we haven't covered.
You mentioned that comparing it to other movies.
Well, not other movies in today, like present movies.
Any current releases, any DC?
Yeah, like things that are happening in the...
Because, you know, everyone has already covered the inspirations for plenty of the stuff that happens in the movie. Everyone has already talked about the comics. I don't think anyone has actually, that inspired the story. Everyone has already talked about the influence of other directors and other movies.
Yeah,
I don't think we should go there.
There's plenty of talk about that.
The only thing that I would like to mention that I don't think anyone actually talked about it is that the characterization of Batman and Alfred is actually from Batman Year One, not Year One, Earth One. It's by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank.
Oh, like you mean the way they
the characterization? Especially not perfect Batman that we talked about earlier.
The sort of like not just like a butler, but sort of like an actual mentor who's teaching him, like
who trained him to become,
instead of him going to Rattle.
Yeah, and even the design of the suit. I think I told you this when we watched it. I said this suit for me, the characterization, especially Alfred characterization with the cane, it's Batman Earth One. I think it's called Earth One. I think it was 2010, 2011, 2012.
Looks like it's just scrap parts that he managed to put together. It's not like this super suit that Lucius
made in a
fab. It's made from this super advanced program or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks like something he just...
Or 3D printed.
Yeah. Well, it looks 3D printed. The mask looks odd. Don't you think? From the Nolan movies? Like the whole head thing?
What do you mean?
Well, the when you view the comics, or even in this one, the last one, the shape of the head is like straight from the sides.
Yeah.
Like a thick neck and then a side thing. But in the Nolan movies, more like an oval kind of thing.
Yeah, because they had this line in The Dark Knight where, you know, Bruce tells Lucius, I need to be able to move my head. So they separated, because in the first one, he had to move his shoulders when he turns. They had those things even in the previous movies.
Yeah, that's why it looks aesthetically different, because it looked very weird.
The suit changes. You know, there's all kinds of monetary reasons why they did that. New suit, new toys to sell, whatever. But it made sense in the movie.
They made it make sense.
And it actually made him even, the fighting scenes looked even better when he could turn his head than before, when he had to move his entire shoulders when he had to turn his head.
And it consumes less energy as well.
Exactly. I think from a fighting standpoint, it's a great advantage. The other one said he's going to make him vulnerable.
Mm.
That's the drawback. especially also the separation of the plates, the armor, because the Nolan suit is an armor.
Well, don't you think that in the Nolan movies there was this emphasis on martial arts and him being able to fight in different kinds and different styles, whereas in the Batman it's just vengeance, it's just
raw
like fucking punches.
I think that goes back to the characterization, because he is trained in those things. You can see it the way he carries himself. Actually, you can see it at the start of the movie. This is one of the positive things that I'm gonna say. The realistic aspect is the fighting scene when he's fighting the gang that are trying to beat that person
in the subway.
The subway station. They were not all of them were just waiting around their turn to get beaten up. You could see at one moment three people jump him.
Yeah, it's much more realistic.
That's how real life fighting happens.
Oh, yes.
You know, you're just standing in a circle around him waiting for your turn to get hammered.
Yeah, it's my turn now.
I'm going to jump in.
Yeah. It goes
with
like
one kick or whatever and you're done.
Yeah. It's much more realistic. And
I think, but the thing is, going back to what you were saying, it's that I think this one is about, you know, the characterization of Batman. He's not that fully aware. I think I would say aware of his own abilities.
But I guess his abilities are evolving with time. I think he's less experienced.
That's the thing I was trying to get at, is that the characterization of this one is that he's supposed to evolve, so he's starting off from not from zero.
Well, a relatively fresh point.
He has some experience, but there's room for more.
Yeah, it's still a lot of room.
Instead of raw violence, breaking bones,
he knows how to hit.
You might see him in the next movies that he's just doesn't go into that brutal.
That would be very
brawler thing.
That would be very interesting if they make other movies to see
and
how
change the fighting style, evolving the fighting style, because that's something I think in the Nolan verse
it happened.
I think it's part of it.
Yeah, because if you see Batman Begins, it's very different than the fight scene he had with Bane.
The first one or the second one?
No, the last one, like at the
end,
very end. Yes. Yeah. Like you could see the change. And even if you compare like the first fight with Bane in the sewers and the second one, you can still see the difference.
Well, yeah, the first one is supposed to be him out of it for like 8 years.
Yeah, but you can start to see the change.
So he thinks that the suit is going to instill fear and that will help him against his opponent.
Because up until now, he hadn't faced like someone with that kind of ability.
On his level. Because that's something actually Alfred tells him. You know, don't you scare that you're going to meet someone who's on your level of fighting?
Same as you.
Fighting skills.
And just the darkness won't scare
you.
You
were trained by the League of Shadows.
He is the League
of Shadows. He breathes and showers and eats and sleeps and drinks. League of Shadows.
Yeah. It's the line. Yeah, you're merely a doctor of the dark. He was born in it, molded by it. But yeah, you can see him changing. You can see the fighting style truly change. Even when he fights Raj in the first movie and then fights Bane at the end, you can see how he's more experienced.
He gets his ass kicked with fighting Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. That was,
he wins.
In the subway,
it was a painful win. Some bones
he only won because of, what was it?
Reflex, I think. I think it's just a reflex thing when he notices that he can just jump out of the train thing.
And that's not winning.
You
didn't defeat him.
You win. Not necessarily. The other one loses. Does it mean that you win?
Yeah.
I guess we can call it that.
Yeah. You fleed at the proper time and he's dumb because he carried away. He got carried away. Now he's, in a subway hitting to the tower.
A typical fanatic is focused on one thing, blindsided to other things.
So you just utilize that against him. But one-on-one, he could have, it would have whooped his ass.
I don't think it's always necessary to win in a brawl.
Yeah, that's just the part of the story, obviously. I mean, it makes more sense for Raj that he died chasing the person he hoped would be on his side.
You do realize we're talking about the Dark Knight more than we're talking about the Batman.
Well, yeah, but brother, when you say the Batman, I think I'm surprised we didn't talk about Michael Keaton on Batman.
Yeah, because we brought up the Flash. You said, how many Jokers can you have? And I said, well, they're making way too many Batman
movies. Yeah, that's the thing. Hey, brother, there's only the thing with Iron Man or like the Marvel ones. They just make one and done. I mean, apart from fucking Spider-Man, but that's just three. How many fucking Batmans are there? Got the George Clooney.
And even if you're going to make more than one, at least a different character.
Well, you have other source material to draw from that will make it feel different.
If they actually go back to their comics,
there's a lot of good source material to draw from. But I don't know, man. I guess you need the right person to do the job. I guess you need sort of like, I don't like to mention him, but you need sort of like a proper Kevin Feige, like someone who would like bring the whole thing together. Because at the moment, DC, Warner Bros, whatever the fuck they call themselves.
Now.
Yeah, they seems like they're too lost. Like in terms of like the administration and directing of all of that, they seem fucked.
They are fucked.
Yeah. And on that note, fuck Warner Bros. Stupid ass movies. But yeah, I believe we talked about the Batman, right?
Yeah, we did.
We
tried to talk about the Batman.
Objectively talked about the Batman.
We talked about the Batman in a subjective way.
Yes, it is complete facts. All everything we said in this episode are facts. You do not have the right to
argue.
Argue. Yes, don't argue. Do not argue. Don't argue with our opinions because they're facts.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, thanks for listening.
And hopefully you'll hear from us in the near future, episode 2.
Yeah, with the movie that is a little bit more interesting.
Should we tell them?
Nah, man, fuck them. They don't pay me.